This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Anyone who's lived in Bloomington-Normal has probably wondered the same thing. Why are there two different school districts here, and why is one donut hole inside the other? The answer, of course, is complicated. Today's Unit 5 and District 87 school districts are the product of over 160 years of organic and planned community growth, and voters sealed their separate fates two decades ago in a highly emotional referendum.
I believe this is the only situation in the state where two unit districts are nestled one inside the other.
That's Lynn Hafley, director of Illinois State University's Center for the Study of Education Policy.
And so it's been an interesting, shall we say, outlier for many, many years.
District 87 is the older sibling by quite a bit. It was formed in 1857 and was one of the first school districts in Illinois. It even hired Abraham Lincoln to do some legal work. Unit 5 came along in 1948 as the state moved away from one-room schoolhouses and rural schools and pushed unit districts. Voters created Unit 5 in part because District 87 declined to add all of the schools in the surrounding area, such as Carlock, Hudson, Towanda. That's according to former Unit 5 school board member Doug Reeves.
And they declined because they would have had to provide busing, and they didn't provide busing. So Unit 5 was created basically as the donut around the unit the District 87 hole in the middle.
Alan Lessoff is a history professor at ISU who studied school consolidation here. He says around this time, urban schools like District 87's had more prestige, better funding than the more rural ones like Unit 5. He says the two districts squabbled for years in court about land annexation and the property tax dollars that came with it. By the 1970s, changes to state law had decoupled municipal annexation from the extension of school boundaries. In plain English, that means a city and its local school district were no longer automatically joined at the hip.
Unit 5 was then able to tie up and prevent the continued growth of District 87 just by dragging it out in courts and legal battles and so on.
And this is when the dynamic started to change.
Where Unit 5 replicates kind of suburban-type school districts in, you know, middle-class subdivisions on the periphery of the city, leaving behind the central city schools, which are no longer identified as dynamic, but identified as stagnant and troubled, and all the things that people look at, right, in that era when they looked at central city, inner-city schools.
As Bloomington sprawls to the east and the southwest, its school district does not. Fewer Bloomington residents have a stake in District 87, which includes many lower-income parts of the city.
In terms of really giving the whole city a stake in how well the city's doing, this separation, right, that of the municipal boundaries from the school boundaries has had just a really enervating effect on politics in the city of Bloomington over a long period of time.
Lessoff says this separation of municipal politics and education politics has become a big, long-term problem.
Because I think it's really important not only to sort of even out development, but to make the different parts of the city feel like they have a common enterprise. Whereas the kind of sociocultural dynamics of the current situation means that outlying subdivisions, they can get most of what they want done, right, without paying too much attention to what's happening in more troubled parts of the area and without really thinking about, well, what really is the economic health of this whole area. Like, you can live in different, basically in different cities.
It wasn't long before a merger of Unit 5 and District 87 was being considered. The Pantograph proposed one in 1964, although neither district supported the idea then. Lessoff says the McLean County Regional Planning Commission studied the issue in 1972, and while they didn't recommend full consolidation, it did suggest a land swap between the districts that would have restored the link between city politics and education politics, but that never happened. Fast forward to 1995. Unit 5's territory had grown to 200 square miles, adding 1,100 students in the past 5 years. District 87 was still landlocked, with 10 miles of tax base, adding only 27 students. Nearly a third of District 87 students were from low-income families, and there were concerns the diversity and socioeconomic gap between the two districts would only grow if left unaddressed. Bill Moeller is a former District 87 school board member.
District 87 had more of the low-income students and the students that needed the most help and needed the special attention and special education and those type of services. So the impetus was District 87's tax base was basically capped, and all this other growth was going on around it for which it was getting no benefit. and that having a single district would help solve that problem.
A committee of 10 successfully placed the merger question on the ballot for voters to decide on March 19, 1996. Preceding the vote, there were months of community forums, events, and pages of letters to the editor in the Pantograph.
So the need, quote unquote, that seemed to permeate the community was that the merger was more or less in lieu of an upcoming and possible crisis or rescue of District 87.
Mueller was a committee of 10 member. He supported the merger, as did most District 87 leaders. More so than the dire predictions about District 87's future, he thought a merged district would simply provide a better education to students, with better programs, more efficiency. There was even talk that consolidation might open the door for career academies focusing on agriculture, industrial technology, or business.
We had silly situations where kids in Unit 5 lived within a few blocks, probably a five-minute walk from a District 87 school, but they were being bused miles to a Unit 5 school, and it made no sense at all.
Unit 5 leaders were opposed to merger. One reason was financial. District 87 teachers generally made more than Unit 5 teachers. That's still true today, by the way. And if the two districts merged, it was likely they'd need to make that higher amount. The state was willing to offset some of that cost, however, by offering a $4,000 per staff member incentive for the first 3 years after any merger. Here's former board president for Unit 5, Doug Reeves.
We could understand mutual benefit. We could understand combined efficiencies. We could understand what cost savings there might be. But we also saw that we were going to be incurring some large costs for those homeowners and property owners in District Unit 5 by having to increase salaries, update some of the Bloomington Unit District 87 schools since they were mostly older than what ours were. So there were some cost things. We had a lower tax rate than what District 87 had. And all of those things were of concern to us.
Alan Chapman, the future Unit 5 superintendent, was still principal at Normal Community High School back in 1996.
I was convinced at the time that in order to really make a rational decision on potential merger, we really would need to answer two questions. One, can we educate the students of the community better with a merged district? And can we do it more economically? And the information we had at the time did not really answer those two questions, at least to my satisfaction.
Ostensibly, the 1996 referendum was about dollars and cents and educational quality. But there were emotional threads that pulled at voters, perhaps even more strongly than charts and graphs and logical arguments about EAV and per-pupil spending. Doug Reeves says some Unit 5 voters felt slighted that District 87 didn't want them back in 1948 during the big school district reshuffling.
Everything from District 87 didn't want us when I was a schoolboy out in the country to I was burned because I used to live in Unit 5 and then I had to transfer to District 87 because they annexed where I live.
Bill Mueller from District 87 saw that too.
The feeling was that District 87 had rejected them then, and so no, we don't want to, it's our turn to reject you. And it was ironic to me that, the situation 50 years ago that people were dredging this, dredging up, what they perceived as a slight.
Others saw something darker. Mike Matika thought it had a lot to do with race.
Got a lot of people mad at me when I said that.
Matika is a local union leader, an historian, and former Bloomington City Council member. He's also a local founder of the Not in Our Town group. In 1996, District 87's student body was far more diverse than Unit 5's. Although the pro-merger committee of 10 recommended that no student be required to change schools, there was an undercurrent of concern that Matika traced back to race.
And if you go back and look at the letters to the editor that came with that around that referendum, there were a lot of references to busing. I don't want my kids bused to Bloomington schools.
Let's just say anti-merger voters did not care for that characterization.
A number of people, you should never say that. How dare you say that? I remember one guy telling me, you need to apologize to every small town around here because they're not racist. When you say racism, people take it as an individual thing and not looking at systematic racism. And to me, this was a thing of systematic racism.
Ultimately, voters rejected the merger by a 2-to-1 margin. Even though 69% of District 87 voters supported the idea, 74% of Unit 5 voters did not. It was dead. Today, Illinois has 852 separate school districts, including Unit 5 and District 87. There have not been many mergers in recent years. The last consolidation here in McLean County was El Paso-Gridley in 2004. Lynn Hafley from ISU's Center for the Study of Education Policy says Illinois has lost only 10 districts in the past 7 years. She was a top education aide to former Lieutenant Governor Sheila Simon, and they worked on the Classrooms First Commission together back in 2012 that studied the pros and cons of consolidation. That study found that one big barrier was teacher pay. If the state wanted to merge separate elementary and high school districts into unit districts, that would bring it down to a maximum of about 300 districts. That was going to cost at least $3 billion, primarily because of salary equalization incentives.
It's not as simple as two corporations merging, and now you get rid of half of the administrative staff because you're just running one company instead of two. You're still going to have the same numbers of students to serve. You're still going to need as many teachers as you have now.
And yeah, you might save a superintendent's salary, but larger school districts might require additional assistant superintendents to make things run smoothly.
You know, if bigger was always better, then our biggest school districts would always be financially sound and their kids would be knocking it out of the park. And guess what? We know that's not true.
Illinois school districts, on average, serve around 2,300 students each. That's well below the national average of 3,600 students. Adam Schuster is director of budget and tax research at the conservative think tank Illinois Policy. His group wants to make it easier for voters to initiate consolidation efforts.
That we simply have way too many school districts, and it's costing our state money, and frankly, it's siphoning dollars away from the classroom.
If Unit 5 and District 87 merged tomorrow, the combined district would have nearly 19,000 students. It's pretty big for Illinois. Barry Riley is the superintendent today at District 87, which has around 5,300 students.
When you look around the state at those large unit districts that are over, let's say, 15,000 students, there are not great examples of those that are just doing phenomenal jobs. They're facing challenges, you know, whether you look at Rockford, Elgin, Springfield, Chicago Public Schools, Peoria, all of these districts face significant challenges.
Let's be clear. There's no current effort underway to try again to merge Unit 5 and District 87. One of the last times it came up was back in 2006 when a report from Unit 5's Citizens Advisory Council said a merger was not needed, but the topic should be periodically evaluated. District 87 School Board President Bridget Beasley says they'd look into it if the community asked, but it's not actively being pursued. Unit 5 School Board President Barry Hitchens says both are in pretty good shape today.
But the current state, both districts are succeeding. If we were in a position where one was succeeding and the other was failing, it'd be a different discussion.
Still, the dynamic today between Unit 5 and District 87 is different than it was back in 1996. Now it's Unit 5 facing serious financial challenges, including a $12 million structural budget deficit. It's prompting speculation that a referendum lay ahead. Back in 1996, the experts said District 87's outlook was bleak without a merger, that it would be able to limp along but would ultimately fail to serve its students adequately. Here's Barry Riley.
But the reality is it didn't come to pass. We went through some challenging times and we had to go through some deficit reduction, but it didn't occur.
And Unit 5 got more diverse, even without absorbing District 87 students. A third of Unit 5 students are now non-whites, and 32% come from low-income families. Mark Jauntry is regional superintendent of schools covering McLean, Logan, Livingston, and DeWitt counties. His father, Gene, was actually regional superintendent back in 1996, when Unit 5 voters rejected the merger.
There's kind of been this thinking out there that maybe, you know, that vote might actually be flipped if you were to hold it today. And I think a lot of that revolves around financial position of the relative to the two districts right now.
23 years later, Bill Muller, the pro-merger former District 87 board member, says he thinks Bloomington Normal would have a stronger school system had the referendum passed.
I'm not saying that the school districts are bad here now, but they could have been better. And I think that anybody who looks back at the history of this will scratch their head and say, this makes no sense. How did this happen?
You can see documents, studies, and other material from the 1996 referendum at our website, wglt.org. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is Sound Ideas.